Thank you. Is it working? Yeah. Okay, well, I would first like to thank the organizer, all the organizers, for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to give a talk today. So I will talk about the geometry of the proofs PSL to Q, and by geometry I mean coset geometry, so I will talk about the subgroups of the group PSL to Q. So the context of this work is to the classification of the finite simple groups. And you have two kinds of simple groups. You have 18 infinite families, and the groups PSL to Q is one of these families. And then you got the 26 sporadic groups. And the question was to achieve a unified geometric interpretation for all this finite simple group. And this question was asked by Francis Buchenhout, which is one of my two supervisors. And there are some encouragement in this direction using the theory of buildings by Jacques Dietz. But this theory is applies to 17 of the 18 families, so it's leaving aside the alternating groups and also the 26 sporadic groups. So now in this incident geometry, which is the topic, there are two main traces that have been developed. The first one is to classify geometries over a given diagram, which is not the one that I'm going to do today. The second one is the one I'm going to develop here in this talk, which is you take a group G and then you classify all incident geometries over this given group, and then you try to add a good set of axioms on this geometry. And this subject is known as coset geometries. So I will talk about the coset geometries of PSL to Q. So this is a sample of some known results on other groups. So the first one is that the classification on alternating and symmetric group was done by Philippe Carra for every n less or equal to 8. Then you have, I think, 10 or 11 small sporadic groups by a lot of people in Brussels. Lehmann's finished the whole classification for the Suzuki groups, and then you also have some experimental results on the PSL to Q, but only for small values, for the Q less or equal to 19. So the idea is to classify all these geometries for the PSL to Q, but therefore we will start with only the geometries of rank 2. And we will also add that this geometry has to act flag transitively, which I'm going to explain a bit later. And also, I will add some other axioms that I'm going to explain after the definitions. So the first definition is an incidence geometry of rank 2. So since the talk is mostly on the rank 2, I will only give the definitions on rank 2, but this definition also works on rank n, of course. So geometry is like a four tuple. You have a set of elements, which is x, and then you get a type for each element. So in our case, we have like zero elements that you can call points, and one element that you can call lines. And you can, for every element, you can give its type, of course. And there is a symmetric and reflexive relationship, saying that no two distinct elements of the same type are incident. And then you have to add one more condition. For this to be a geometry, is that every element of a given type is incident to at least one element of the other type. Okay, we'll see in the subgroup lattice how you can translate all these axioms. So I will also define a flag, because knowing how the people that work on polytope defined it, this is not exactly the same definition. So a flag is a set of pairwise incident elements, so I'm not asking that all the types are represented. So I would say that your flags are my maximal flags. Okay. So now we are going over to the coset geometry. So this is the algorithm by Tietz. So we go over to the subgroup lattice, and we'll take, so we are in rank 2 case, we take a group G and we take two subgroups, and they are proper subgroups, of course, and we will require already two things. The first one is that the group G is generated by the two subgroups G0 and G1, we will see that this axiom is exactly asking that the graph is connected. So we'll call it residually connected. And the second axiom is asking that the intersection of the two subgroups is a proper subgroup of each one of them. And we will see that if you have a proper subgroup, it's asking that every element is in fact incident to at least two elements of the other type. So this is what we call firm. So we already have the two first axiom that we require. And then we are going to build up a coset geometry. So we have the group, we have the set of subgroups, and the elements of our coset geometries are the left cosets of the two subgroups, so G0 and G1. And the incidence relationship is defined by saying that two left cosets are incident if they have a non-empty intersection. So we have to remember the definition, because when we are going over to graphs, we will use exactly this construction to build up an incidence graph. And we also have the type function, which gives a type to every element. So I was talking about a set of axioms that we want to impose on the geometries. So here is the set of axioms that we imposed. The first two ones were already seen on the previous slide. So we are having group G and two subgroups, G0 and G1. And then we define the intersection. I will right away write it like this, the intersection of G0 and G1. So we already asked that the two subgroups generate G. This is the second one, residually connected. And we asked firm, we asked that this subgroup is a proper subgroup of this one. So it asked that the index is at least 2. So every element is incident to 2 elements of the other type. We will also add flag transitivity, which means that the group has to act transitively on flags. And we are going to add 2 more axioms that I will explain on the next slide. So first, one lemma. When we are looking in the rank 2 case, we always have flag transitivity. So that's nice. And the fourth axiom, residually weakly primitive, will imply firm and residually connected. So there are only 2 axioms that we have to verify in the rank 2 case, which are the 2 last ones. So let's see. If we ask for the geometry to be residually weakly primitive, we will ask that every group will act primitively on at least one of its subgroups. So either this one is maximal or this one, and since this one has only one subgroup, it has to be maximal in this one too. So this is residually weakly primitive. We go residually into the coset geometry down. So this is the first axiom, and the second one is asking that these two subgroups act too transitively on this subgroup that we will call the Borel subgroup. So now that we have our set of axioms, we want to see how to see all the possible configurations, all the possible coset geometries, and therefore we will start by a given group G. So we fix a group G, and we have to see all the maximum subgroups. Now for the groups BSL to Q, there are 7 types of maximum subgroups. You will see them in the classification theorem just afterwards. When we have this maximum subgroup, we look for the groups G01, and we have to have these 2 transitive actions in between. And then we go up again to the groups G1, and we know that G1 can be maximal, but it doesn't have to be, because only one of both has to be maximal in group G. So this is how we build up the configuration. And to do that, we really use the complete subgroup lattice of the subgroup PSL2Q, so we need to know which subgroups for which condition on Q. We also need to know all the conjugacy classes, the number of them, the length of the classes, and then sometimes even the fusion of the classes in the automorphism group of PSL. So there are 2 ways of counting this configuration to see how many of them are there are, and one is up to conjugacy, that's only in the group, and one of them is up to isomorphism, that means that we look at the automorphism group of PSL. So this is the classification theorem done with Lehmanns. So we see that we have classified all the geometries of rank 2 under the given axioms, and we see that we classify them by ordering the maximal subgroups of PSL. So we have 7 types, and I will show you one of these. So symmetric 4, here it is. So on the right up corner, you see the conditions for S4 to be maximal, and then each line represents one configuration. the number of config. So you have the Borel subgroup, the second subgroup G1, then the number of geometries, and of course for every geometry you have some additional conditions, sometimes because the group has to exist, and sometimes for the two transitive action you have to add some axioms. So the conclusion of this part is that the classification of the rank 2 case is complete, and this list includes 4 infinite families of geometries. So we really have a lot of geometries, and these geometries, of course, the number of them depend on Q, which is the power of a prime. So it depends on the prime and on the n. So if we look at only the values till 97, we see that there are more than 300 geometries up to conjugacy and 190 up to isomorphism. So the thing is that we think it's really too much. So we would like to add something new in order to restrict number of geometries, but without killing the good ones. Yeah, that appears. So there is only one Q that has absolutely no geometries, which is Q equals 3. And then you got, like, for all even ones, you got infinite families, so there you're sure. And then for the other ones, it's really, you cannot know when there are a lot of less. It really depends on the value every time. You cannot find any, you know, yeah, any pattern at all. So the first step was to classify the geometries of rank 2. That's done. So the next step would be what is the maximal rank of geometries that can appear. So I already proved that if a Q is a prime number, the rank is less or equal to 6. Now what happened is I already find some examples for 4, not yet for 5, so I don't know if 5 can appear. And so the step after that would be to classify all these geometries for any rank. But the thing is, like I said, we need another axiom to reduce the number of geometries, because there are way too much geometries. And so the new idea was to add this axiom, which is self-normalizing. It's asking that every subgroup appearing in the geometry is self-normalized in the group G. So this is quite strong, so we can also ask for a weaker version. It's asking that only the Borel subgroup is self-normalized in the group. So this is the new axiom. So what happens with this one? If we add the weaker version, so only the Borel subgroup is self-normalized, we already see that in the 7 possibilities of maximal subgroups, there are already 2 that disappear. If we add the stronger conditions, there is a 3rd one that also disappears. So it really reduces the possibilities of maximum subgroups. Sorry, you see? Thank you.
So it's completely opposite to be normal. Essentially, completely non-normal.
Okay. So this 2 axiom reduces really a lot of the number of geometries that we see the numbers there. And I already imposed the weaker version to the higher ranks to see which maximal subgroup we can have. And for the higher ranks, we see that there are only 3 possibilities of maximum subgroups, and we started with 7. So it really reduces quite well. And so the idea was to see, is this axiom really a good idea? So we want to see it on other groups. The first thing to notice is that this axiom, the self-normalizing, is also good for buildings, because they have this axiom too, so this is already a good sign. And the next one is that I tried on the 10 smallest sporadic groups, and every one of them have at least one geometry that satisfies the SN property. So it's not killing too much. That's a good sign. I already did it to also apply it to the whole classification that Dimitri Lehmann's made on the Suzuki groups, and there is only one geometry that remains, which is the building. So now let's switch completely and going to locally SR transitive graphs. So we will use our classification theorem of rank 2 and then make a link with the locally SR transitive graphs. So we will look at the incidence graph of the geometries over a given group. The context is to look at all locally SR transitive graphs for simple groups, for finite simple groups. So the idea is, of course, to use our classification and then apply it, see what locally SR transitive graph we get, and then try to find the maximum value of S so that the graph is locally SR transitive. So I will give the definition of locally SR transitive first. A few earlier works. So there was work done by Lehmann, Sprieger, and Fang on the Suzuki groups, also on the Rie groups, and on small sporadic groups by Dimitri. On this classification of locally SR transitive graphs. So the definition is that you will take S arc, and how to define an S arc? You will start with defining it one arc. So you take a vertex and then you take a second vertex. This is like a one arc, and from that on you can construct a two arc and then a three arc and go on. So the only thing that is not allowed is when you do one step is to just come back to the same place again. So that is not allowed. So this is an S-arc, and what is a locally S-arc transitive graph is you start, so first you have to have a S-arc. You start with a vertex V, and you want to map any S-arc starting in the same vertex to any other S-arc by using an element of the stabilizer of the vertex. So you really want to have a transitivity on these S-arcs, but only starting in the same vertex. This is where the locally is coming from. So therefore, we need to find a link between our coset geometries and the subgroups and these locally SR transitive graphs. And this was made by Judy C. Lee and Prager. So what they did is they are searching for this locally SR transitive graphs. And they are looking first for the locally two arc transitive graphs. And they see that it is equivalent to looking for two subgroups of a group G. So that's already a good sign. That's exactly what we did. And the first, and these two subgroups has to satisfy three axioms. The first one is that G0 must have a two transitive action on the cosets of the Borel subgroup, and the same for the G1. This is exactly what we called locally two transitive before. The second axiom is asking that the two subgroup generate the whole group. We already called that residually connected, and it gives a connected graph. And the third axiom is asking that the Borel subgroup is core free in the group G, and this is satisfied since our groups are all simple for Q greater or equal to 3. Greater to 3, sorry. So the algorithm of Tietz shows that this locally two arc transitive graphs are exactly rank 2 geometries. So this is by using our definition of this coset geometry. So we will start with our rank 2 coset geometries that satisfy the two axioms, two locally two transitive and residually weakly primitive. And we see that they, of course, satisfy the three previous axioms. We saw them on the previous slide. And since then, we can make graphs out of it. So how to go from a coset geometry to a graph? You only have to build the incidence graph of the coset geometries. And the incidence graph is that the vertex sets are the left cosets of G0 and G1, so that's all the vertices of the graph, so we have right away a bipartite graph. And the incidence is, again, that the cosets must have a non-empty intersection. So that's how we built this incidence graph. So our coset geometries are locally two arc transitive graphs due to the result of Prager, Lee, and Giudice. So now we can use our theorem. Now we have built a connection between these two subjects. And we want to find the highest S so that the graph is still locally S arc transitive. So the conclusion is I apply that to whole the whole classification of the rank 2. And of course, the values are quite small. So for quasi all of them, it's S equals 2 or 3, which is the maximum one. And in some cases, we don't have the real answer. We have like 2 or 3 possibilities left. But most of them are really done. And if even this, well, for the ones that we have 2 or more possibilities, we can still look at that with magma, but only for small values of Q. And I have 2 examples of geometries that have a S which is greater than 2 and 3, which is 1 for S equals 4 and 1 for S equals 7. These are the only ones. Thank you. I don't get the question.
Are you ruling out the possibility that a geometry is just a bunch of points and a bunch of lines, the same number of lines, and when you draw it, it's just a polygon?
Yeah, this is killing all thin geometries, right?
Because PSL23 would give you thin geometries in the front.
Yeah, but so this geometry that you have was already taken away by the 2 axioms before the new axiom. Residually weakly primitive or locally two transitive, I have to look at it. But one of them was already taking this away. But now there are some thin geometries that are left over in the first axioms and that we kill by the new axiom of self-normalizing, then all thin geometries are killed. Yeah, exactly. So this is exactly. So here you can find the index here is like the number of black vertices. The index here the number of white vertices, mm-hmm. And the index here gives the valency of every one of them.
But the object itself may not be say transitive. I mean, you have group acting on all the black vertices or white vertices, right? But
yeah, no. You cannot. You cannot always switch them. Yeah. Yeah, some of them are and some are not. Yeah, you have. If the 2 subgroups here are exactly the same and are non-conjugate, then you could switch them. But Isabel said that this were not pictures.